Okay, now I'm starting the stream.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the stream.
I don't think they can hear you yet. It takes a little while. At least I think that's how it works, or at least what I like to pretend. Okay, yeah, we're live.
We are live, coming to you from my dining room table.
Live from New York, it's Nintendo Oki.
I've never been to New York. Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 415 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, May the 28th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me this week, I got Ethan.
We're live. We have chat.
We are
so
live.
Cool.
It's just the two of us as well.
Oh.
So, you're going to be the one that brings the funny this week. Can you handle that?
I promise nothing and I deliver less.
There you go. At least you're honest.
Yep.
At least you're honest. And you're going to be talking with people in the chat while we're doing the show anyway, so.
Yeah, it's usually I'm just talking to Cole in the chat, but we have other people for once.
I might end up just talking to myself for the whole show.
Well, it's better than playing Kirby by yourself.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, we should not do that again.
No, that probably would not be a good idea. If we had something that maybe wasn't quite so laggy and didn't require focus, we might be able to do something like that.
Yeah, if we're playing on like a real console instead of a Raspberry Pi, yeah.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. So, but yeah, like I said, it is just the two of us this week, so be prepared for a very short show, possibly. We'll find out. So if you're listening to this live, you won't have to worry about it, because you're going to get to hear all the other stuff as well. So, all right, well, that's going to be it for the intro this week. So, let's just take a quick break. We'll come back, and Ethan, you and I can talk about some of the video games we've been playing. So, Ethan, what have you been playing this week?
I streamed a lot of things this week.
Okay.
SteamWorld Dig 2 is one of the things I streamed.
Really? How much have you played in that now?
Well, I did finish the game. Not on
Very
stream,
nice.
Sadly, because I was doing some grinding for levels off stream.
Uh-huh.
So I could get more money, so I could get more upgrades.
Yeah. And you accidentally beat the game?
Well, I was doing all that, and then I was like, hey, I can go over here and do this thing and explore over here. Oh, and the game's over.
Hmm. Yeah. Accidentally beating a game's a bad thing. But luckily, you can go back and just.
Oh, yeah, I can go back
more.
And fight the boss again if I want, but I'd rather not.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have fun. I almost died in the boss fight.
I died quite a few times in the boss fight at the end.
It was really clutch on there. I was lucky the health kits, or whatever you want to call them, kept respawning.
Yeah. I probably finished the game a little before I should have and made it a little harder than it probably had to be. But I was at the point where I was ready to finish the game so I could get the review done and tried to just power through the last little bit of it.
I did get all the collectibles on there, so I have access to a hidden area.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
The challenge area where they restrict certain things. I ended up digging outside of like the second challenge on there. Like
okay.
Into a void space, and the screen started to I guess it's a hex code that shows up on screen or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't collected everything, so I haven't seen any of that stuff at the end of the...
Yeah, it's kind of weird, and it threw me out into the that robot post-apocalyptic junk world with all the ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you finish the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you had, but
yeah, I think I got 100% on that. I don't remember. Pretty sure though.
I didn't 100% either of them. Once I got done, I went back and did a little bit of extra stuff, but I've always gotten to those games when I've had so much other stuff that I needed to play that I've never gone back and put the time into finishing those last little bits of stuff I need to do in both of those games.
It's just so easy to get lost in that game.
Well, it is. I think part of my problem too is that I tend to dig myself into paths that lock me out of spaces.
Yeah, that is a problem I kept running into.
And unfortunately, if you do that, there's no way to go back and
There is, like, really, really late in the game.
Really?
You get a jetpack sort of thing, and it has some upgrades. The final upgrade on there allows you to have, like, infinite flight by letting go mid-air, and it just instant cools. And then there's you can shoot your grenade launcher in the air.
So yeah, I need to get those then, because I don't have either of those upgrades.
Yeah, they make a world of difference on there.
So
yeah, I finished that. So I probably won't stream that again.
Well, you got to go back and finish that boss fight on stream. No? Okay, you don't have to do that.
So, the other thing I played, one of the other things I played. Sorry, I'm looking at the chat.
You're getting distracted.
I've never played Cave Storyline, so I don't know. Destiny 2. Played that with Cole Stewart and three other guys I don't know.
Well, okay.
Hold on, three. I guess technically five other guys we don't know, because we had to get rid of like two of them.
Oh, no.
Well, one guy spoke French, so he had to go, because...
Yeah.
You know, first rule of Fight Club, that sort of thing. Well, first rule of Destiny 2 is speak the language of the team that you're on.
That's usually a good idea.
Yeah. Second rule is, of course, being able to speak to the team as well, so... So yeah, we did the first raid in Destiny 2. It was interesting.
Okay.
Like I I didn't know what to expect fully, because I hadn't done the raid myself. I'd seen it in videos, and what I saw didn't explain how to do a lot of stuff. So getting involved in there was an interesting experience.
Really?
Yeah. One of the things I got to do was I think Cole called it a runner, where I had to grab this energy ball and call out the top, bottom, or middle on this thing, and then I get to run through there.
Yeah, you were telling me about this earlier this week.
Yeah. So... I don't know if it was like an hour or something in this room with trying to get this right, but it kept getting the energy ball. I'd get about halfway through the course, and then I would just explode. And then I think when we do it another time, and suddenly there's this weird glowy orb thing in where the where I called out at, where they're not supposed to shoot this stuff, and it refreshes my explodey orb that I'm running with.
Oh no.
So it was like, oh, that's good. It refreshed. Is this supposed to happen? And then right after that, we had a bunch. Why are you guys speaking so many different languages?
Because you were talking about not being able to understand people.
They do realize I can moderate my own chat, right?
They don't care.
Yeah. So after some restructuring of the group, we ended up doing the entire first raid all the way to the end, and I got some cool gear from it, and now I have like a glowy half halo thing on my head that's kind of like an Aurora Borealis but yellow.
Cool. Interesting.
As long as I wear the correct emblem. Yeah.
Alright.
The last thing I played this week, Doki Doki Literature Club.
I swear this is going to be your game of the year. You have gone from I don't want to play this game at all to playing this game all the time.
It went from playing this game, like, okay, all right, it's kind of generic visual novel, to I don't want to play this. I don't like where this is going. This, and then the third sitting with it is just, all right, we're going to power through this, and then it was just, I don't know what to say about it. It's, everything that happened on there was just insane.
Yeah, and that's the idea that I get from you, is that this is just the absolute most insane game you could play, but it seems like you're enjoying the time with it, even though it's very weird.
Did you see what Brandon typed?
No.
This is why we can't have a chat open.
You're going to have to edit all this out.
Yeah, so this... It's going to probably gonna be pretty high on my Game of the Year list, or if not, just at least mentioned on it.
Yeah.
There is a lot going on in this game. There's... I got an ending. Yeah, an ending. I didn't get the ending. But I am on a... I am unable to start a new game at the moment, if that makes sense to anyone that has played this. I don't want to spoil it because of what happens.
Yeah.
You can... Yuri, that's the one I picked, okay, Brandon? I guess what I can say is the game got super meta.
Really?
There was stuff I had to do outside of the game.
Okay, like what?
Deleting files.
You had to... The game wanted you to delete files.
Character files.
Okay.
Apparently the game adds in files while you're playing it and deletes other files and stuff. It's a really weird thing to know after I've learned all this, because it's throwing out more stuff in there, more hints on various things and just random stuff to be found in there. Apparently all the character files, you can go into those and run them through, like, two of them you need to run them through like a binary translator, and others you can just change the file type to pictures and stuff. It's really, really strange, and then you get even stranger stuff from the results of those.
Okay.
And some of those end up leading to more and more and more. It's just, I don't know what it is, but
is this really just like Frog Fractions?
Frog Fractions 3. I wouldn't be surprised. It's like a whole game within a game that takes
a game.
That takes place outside the game.
Because this just sounds crazy. Like, insane.
Yeah, that is a way to describe that game. There will be another playthrough eventually. I don't know, maybe sometime this week, depending if Stuart and Jason agree to that. I haven't scheduled it with them just yet.
Okay.
And the chat wants to know if you're going to play it.
No.
Yeah, I don't think Tony should play it. It runs on a toaster. So, yeah, Doki Doki Literature Club. It's a weird game. It might be on my Game of the Year list.
Well, okay.
That is all I've been playing.
Okay.
I'm still playing the Strange Journey Redo Redux or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you're working on that for review.
Yeah, so don't really want to talk about that.
Okay.
What are you buying?
So, there's Dark Souls Remastered. I didn't know it was out yet. Apparently it came out like on a Thursday on Steam.
Okay. I was going to say, it's not out on Switch yet.
Yeah. It's really weird because I didn't know it was out. I saw a post about it to someone else on Twitter and they're like, it's out? Well, that's weird. So I hopped on Steam. There it was. It was 50% off. I grabbed it. It's Dark Souls and it looks pretty, I guess you could say.
Is it remastered?
Dark Souls Remastered, yeah. So I own Dark Souls twice on Steam.
Yeah.
Which is really weird that I would own it twice like that.
I saw someone on the...
You can't buy the first one, the original, on there anymore.
Yeah, well, once they've done this one, they aren't going to want you to go back and buy that other one.
Right.
I saw somebody this week in, like... Their little tagline for their review said, it captures the heart of the original.
Capturing the heart of the original because it is the original.
Exactly.
I'm a little confused. I'm seeing a bunch of posts like, here's tips for how to get started in Dark Souls.
Those were out like 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's just, are you reposting stuff? Or have we learned anything new since then?
Yeah. I mean,
I guess we have learned some new stuff, like Dark Souls 2, 3, Bloodborne, and I guess people have gone back and actually played Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking of picking this up when it does finally come to the Switch, and finally giving that series a shot. I don't know how much I'll like it, but we'll see.
It can be a punishing game, but if you live through it, it can be rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just remember, get good.
I'll do my best. You know, I'm not very good at video games, though, so there's that.
Yeah. You'll figure it out.
Probably.
Right. So, yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. So let's see, what have I been playing this week? Splatoon 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's right there.
Yeah, I have been playing that. I'm just basically right now going back, and I'm playing through some of the single-player stuff again with the different weapons that I didn't finish it the first time through, and just keeping Splatoon fresh in my mind while we're waiting for that Octo expansion. Which I think is July, if I remember correctly.
I have no idea.
I want to go back in and play some more Salmon Run for people with people that have the game. So, and I have seen some talk of people this week hacking the game, and I knew it was going to happen, and I haven't experienced any of it myself playing online. There's not been anybody that's just completely walked over me so bad that I'm like, they've got to be cheating. But I have seen a few people talking about evidence that they've seen people using like overpowered weapons and things like that in the game.
Hmm.
So I'm hoping that doesn't become too prevalent in the game because then that just ruins the fun for everybody.
Yeah, I can see that being a problem.
So... But yeah, I'm just eagerly awaiting this Octoling expansion.
Cause... You said you were trying out new weapons on there?
Well, I'm going back and playing through it with the... Each level gives you, you know, the list of weapons that you can use, and they're all the same. It's all the different weapons that you use in the single-player campaign. But you can go back and play it with all the different ones. because sometimes, you know, you're forced to play with specific weapons. And so, like, the ones where I was forced to use, like, the sniper rifle or the Gatling gun, I want to go back and play through those levels again with some of the weapons I actually like using, and maybe trying to force myself to better learn those weapons that I don't really like, so that when I do get stuck with them on occasion,
you're not
that I'm
horrible.
Not, yeah. I'm not just, you know, yeah.
Okay. I was mostly curious if, like, you had found a new weapon that you liked or anything.
No, I mean, it's still any of the shorter ranged sort of semi-automatic little submachine gun type weapons, those are the ones I like the best. I think mostly because they give you a little bit of room for error. You don't have to be incredibly precise with them. You've got a little bit of wiggle room in terms of your accuracy. And so that's one of the things that I want to kind of do, is force myself to use those things like the sniper rifle and stuff, so that I force myself to get better at aiming with those weapons. And one of the things, I think a lot of people that I've played with say, you need to be using the motion controls, but I hate the motion controls in that, because it's just up and down, if I remember correctly, and I hate that, because I want to be able to do the left and right and the up and down with the motion controls.
I'm using tilt controls.
Yeah, so, and my pro controller, which is what I normally use, doesn't have the motion controls in it, so, because I'm using, you know, those third-party wired pro controllers, and they don't have the motion control stuff in it. So, because that's the controller that I use most, I want to make sure I'm just as good as I can be using that controller. So, but yeah, going back and playing through some Splatoon, a little bit of multiplayer this week. I didn't play a ton of multiplayer this week. Mostly, if I was playing it, it was single player. But I've been playing Ease 8 for review, which I technically can't talk about the Switch version yet. So, not for a couple more weeks, actually. But that's what most of my time right now is going to, is playing through Ease 8 on the Switch. Except with the merchants.
What are you buying?
I picked up a copy of Bloodstained Curse of the Moon when it came out this week.
Ooh.
Like the day I was like, I think Tuesday or Wednesday I found out the game was coming out, if I remember correctly, and then I bought it Thursday night, powered through the first four levels of that. Review is live on YouTube, actually. I posted a video review of the game that is up on our YouTube channel. You can check that out there. I did make one mistake in the video review, going back and watching it. There are six levels in the main game, not five.
Yeah,
like I had said. But I powered through the first four levels in about an hour the first night, and then finished it on Friday and got the review posted. So, but yeah, that game, if you like Castlevania, you're gonna like Curse of the Moon.
Your video looked very Castlevania.
It is very Castlevania. Like it follows in the footsteps of Castlevania 3, and wouldn't look out of place as like a direct sequel to Castlevania 3. I mean, the characters move exactly like they do in Castlevania, that it looks like they just took the sprites from Castlevania, they pasted their characters over the top of them and said, here you go, here's your game. Because the way they move, the way they walk up the stairs, the way you fall straight down off of a ledge if you're not, you know, purposely walking down the stairs, and that led to a couple deaths because I forgot that you fall straight down and was thinking there was a little bit of forward momentum a couple of times because I was just going to drop down to a lower platform and ended up dropping straight down to my death. So
it still has, it's got the traditional, once you're moving and you jump, your trajectory is set. There's no going back.
That is correct. Yes. So you have to be moving forward to be able to jump forward. You can't move forward in a jump from a standing still position. So, I mean, all of those things from the NES Castlevania are here in this game. I mean, there are some differences, obviously, because you are playing on newer hardware. I don't think they could put this on an NES and it would work in any way. I mean, and maybe they could get it to work, but I don't know that that would be possible. This time around, you play as four different characters. I think previously the most you ever played as was two in a Castlevania game.
Hold on, how many control button or buttons were used for the for playing it?
I mean, your main stuff, it's just an attack and a jump button and special or your sub weapon. So
Left, right. I guess select for changing character, start, pause, jump.
you'd
Yeah,
have to do
you'd
something
be one
like
button short.
you'd have to do like up and a
Oh yeah,
button for your sub weapon, which is what they did in
Yeah, I
Castlevania.
didn't even think about the combination thing.
So, but yeah, you play as four different characters this time around. I think Dengatsu, I think was his name. I can't remember. Is the main character. Miriam is who is the main character of
Ritual of the
Ritual of
Night.
the Night. She's playable in this. There's a character named Alfred, who is an alchemist, and then Gebel, who is a vampire type character, looks just like Alucard. From Castlevania, and they all play very differently. Miriam is the sort of Castlevania character of them, the one that uses a whip and has the highest jump, and things like that. Alfred is the weakest of all of the characters in terms of physical attacks and the ability to take damage. He has a very small health bar. That's one of the things that is really neat about this game is that each of the different characters has their own health bar. They're not sharing a health bar across them. So, you know, if you're about to die with one character, you can switch to another one and keep yourself from dying.
That's
And
good.
then you can, once you open up one of the candle things on the wall that would drop like a heart or something, you could switch back to that other character that's about to die, refill their health and keep going. There are two different difficulty levels that are unlocked from the beginning of the game, casual mode and veteran mode. Veteran mode is your standard, if you want the Castlevania experience with the game, you're going to use that one. It's the one that plays exactly like Castlevania. You've got three lives, and you suffer from knockback. So when an enemy hits you, it pushes you back a little bit on the screen. Of course, that led to a few deaths as well
Do you
during
think
my.
the push the knockback from enemies hitting you would lead to sequence breaking or anything?
Possibly. I haven't put enough time in it to see what the speedrunners might be doing with this. So, I mean, it is possible. I think there's a few spots that maybe it would work and you could get up into a place that maybe you weren't supposed to with
Okay.
some clever positioning. Because the game has a ton of branching paths in it and places that one character wouldn't be able to get to. But if you switch to another character like Miriam, because she can slide under walls, there are some places that you can slide under walls to get to some of the branching paths. Or Gebel can fly and can get up higher than any of the other characters and things like that. So you start off with one character, and then as you beat bosses, the other three characters will join you over the first three levels of the game, and then the second half of the game, you have access to all four characters at the same time. So,
Is there any replay value where you get like all four characters from the start of the game then?
yeah, once you've finished the game the first time, you can go back through and play it again with all four characters, and then you could get to some of those paths that you wouldn't have been able to reach previously in the game.
Okay.
And then once you finish the game the first time, it unlocks a third difficulty level in a boss rush mode. So it's a fairly short game. I finished it the first time in under 2 hours, because, like I said, it is only six levels, and I was able to get through the first four in just over an hour. So it's not a very short game. What I think it does, though, is something similar to like Mighty Gunvolt. That first game that came out, I think it only had 4 levels in it. It was a really short game.
Yeah,
it was another one of those, like, if we reach this funding goal, here's another game we'll put out or something, I think, with Mighty Number 9.
Yep, still waiting on my Curse of the Moon copy.
You still haven't gotten yours?
No. PS4 is what I got mine on.
Okay. When is that? It should be out soon, right?
Whenever they get the codes for them.
Oh, okay. Can you buy it from the
Yeah, I can buy it, store? But it's like, okay. Why would I want to buy it if...
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just... For anybody that might be interested in picking it up on PS4, because I think it's already available on all systems.
Yeah, normally I would be, like, mad about this, but this isn't the game I funded. This is just a little bonus they threw in. So yeah. It's, like, big deal. Who cares?
So, and much like with Mighty No. 9, and I mentioned this in my review, should Ritual of the Night be a dumpster fire and fail miserably, they could fall back onto this and use this as the basis of a new series, because Mighty Gunvolt Burst was a great follow-up to that first Mighty Gunvolt game.
Yeah.
And they put out a ton of extra. I think they put out 6 or 8 new playable characters for that change up the way you play that game. And I'd love to see them do the same thing with this, where even if you are developing another Bloodstained every few years, keep making this. This one is developed by Inti Creates, the same company that did Mighty Gunvolt Burst, Blaster Master Zero. I think they do Galgun as well.
Yes. Yeah, they do Galgun.
But they did a fantastic job with this game. I absolutely love it. It's $10. It's cheap for a really solid retro-styled Castlevania game. I can't recommend this game enough to anybody that wants to play a Castlevania game, because Konami's obviously not interested in Castlevania. I mean, they're working on that new mobile game. They don't seem interested in doing anything with the Castlevania franchise. It's been, what, almost 4 years now since Lords of Shadows?
Oh, I'm sure there's a patchy slot machine out there we haven't heard of yet.
Oh, probably. Probably. But yeah, go pick up Bloodstained. If you're waiting on Ritual of the Night and want something to play in that style, go pick this game up. It's really good. So... But that is it. That is all that I have been playing this week. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll maybe talk about a news story or two, and then we'll get to listener feedback. Resident Evil 7 is out on Switch. It's got English.
The demo or the full game?
The full game is out.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's... somebody I had seen said it was $20, but that seems...
It's a lot of game to fit on one of those little carts.
Well, that ain't happening, sir. I don't know why they're not putting it out on a cart and they're doing this streaming thing. It's weird. But yeah, I mean, if you have a Japanese eShop account right now, you can go and get the demo of Resident Evil 7 here in the United States. It's not going to work very well. The lag is going to be
tremendous.
And it's gonna make that game nearly unplayable, if not completely unplayable, in the United States. But you can go try it. You can download the demo and play it and see if it'll work for you. It's supposed to have an English language option in there, but I don't know how to do it. I was playing through it, trying to figure it out, and it said language, and I was flipping through the options, but it never actually switched to anything that I could read. So
sadly, that is the problem with Japanese games sometimes.
Yeah, because every once in a while, I'll go through looking through the Japanese eShop, seeing if there's any games that have English language options. Every once in a while, you'll see one that does. But not very often, it seems like. And I don't think this was advertised at all. I mean, an English language option being advertised for the Japanese version of the game.
Not so much, I guess not for the Japanese, but maybe the Asian version of it.
So, but yeah. Go play Resident. Go try to play Resident Evil 7 if you want to see how it works on the Switch, but I don't think you're going to enjoy it. And Killer 7. Speaking of games with 7, Killer 7 is coming to Steam. This was a GameCube game originally.
GameCube and PS2. I don't know if it was on Xbox. I didn't bother looking that up.
I was going to say, I think I have this, but no, it's 13 that I bought not that long ago.
Oh man, no one talks about Killer 13. No one.
No one?
No one.
Okay. Yeah, Suda51's critically acclaimed action-adventure game, Killer 7, will be on Steam soon.
The wiki page already has Microsoft Windows listed.
Really?
Oh, wait, no, Steam, so... Yeah, not Windows.
Well, I mean, it would be Windows,
yeah,
but...
Well.
I don't know how Steam
it was PS2 and GameCube, and then it says NIS America brought it to PC.
Yes, they are doing the publishing of the game.
Okay, so PC. The page is up to date. That's cool.
So, I did see that. So I don't know what that's going to mean for it, if anything. But it is going to be in HD as well. I think they're updating the visuals. I don't know what other changes they're going to be making for that.
I'm not really sure either. Did we already talk about the Yakuza games?
We have not, and we better, or Michael will hurt us.
Thank you, Lang.
So yeah, Yakuza 3, 4, and 5? Is that what it is?
Yes, no mention of Dead Souls.
They're all getting PS4 releases. Is it one package, or is it separate? Do we know yet?
I've only seen footage. Games? I've only seen footage for 3, so...
Okay.
I can't imagine them releasing them all as just one big disc.
That would be a rather large game at that point, I think. So I would imagine it will be separate releases. But yeah, that means
Michael can buy all the games again.
All of the numbered Yakuza games are on one system, and that means I'll have no excuse to have them all.
Exactly. So
I've got 0 and 1. 2 is coming out soon.
3 and 4 this year, 5 next year in Japan. Got it. So that'll be 5 getting a physical release in the U.S. possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. They could change their mind, make it digital only last second.
And make Micah very sad.
Or angry, or both.
Possibly both. Yeah, I really, really want them to do those spin-off games. Because those, I really want to play those, and I don't know enough Japanese to be able to actually play those games.
That's fair.
So. What is that question?
Something I was thinking about earlier today.
What is that?
Does Tony know how many megabytes the SNES collection is?
What SNES collection?
The entire Super Nintendo library.
Ah, like if you put all of the Super Nintendo games into one package, how big would it be?
Yes.
Probably not that big. I don't think Super Nintendo games were...
They ran about 4 megabytes.
Yeah, they weren't huge games. Could you fit the entire collection on a Blu-ray disc?
Yes.
I would think so.
You could fit the entire collection on a Blu-ray disc about 20,
multiple times over?
20 yeah. times over, give or take.
What, about 2 gigs total?
It's just under 2. 1.7 okay. gigabytes.
That was a pretty good guess.
You know how big the NES library is?
Less than that.
Very much so.
I'd say that's probably under a gig. Well under a gig.
It's under 500 megabytes.
Yeah.
It's 237.
Yeah, those games were tiny.
I'm actually surprised by the N64 library size.
I mean, relatively speaking, those games are tiny. They weren't small back then, I guess, but...
True.
But yeah, now you have Word files bigger than NES games.
Yeah. The N64 comes in at 5.5 gigabytes.
Okay.
The Game
That's
Boy...
not surprising.
The Game Boy and Game Boy Color library together, 568 megabytes.
Wow.
This, here's the shocker, though. Game okay. Boy Advance library. What? How? Do you think it's larger or smaller than the SNES?
I would think it would be smaller than the Super Nintendo. But, you know, the Game Boy Advance was essentially a Super Nintendo in your hand.
It was definitely larger than the Super Nintendo.
Really?
Do you think it's larger or smaller than the Nintendo 64 library?
That's got to be smaller, right?
8.4 gigabytes.
Really?
So it beat the...
Was it because there were just that many Game Boy Advance games?
There was a ton of Game Boy Advance games.
I mean, is this just North America, or is this everything?
I think this is everything.
Okay. Because I know with the Game Boy Advance, there were a lot of games that never came out here.
Yeah. The Nintendo DS library is 83.2 gigabytes.
Okay. Yeah, you're starting to get into some...
Oh, it's all uphill from here, man.
Some sizable files.
GameCube library. 867 gigabytes.
Okay.
And the last one I have on the list, because I don't have a very up-to-date list... The Wii library. 6.56 terabytes.
Terabytes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising. There were a lot of games for the Wii.
Lot of garbage was on the Wii as well.
And then you turn around. I bet the Wii U library is much smaller than that.
Possibly.
I
honestly wish I had that in the list here.
I mean, the games are going to... Individual games would be bigger, but I don't think there's probably as many Wii U games as there were Wii games.
Oh, yeah, this list is about 2 years old.
So. There you go. That was interesting. I would have never guessed... I mean, I say I never would have guessed the size of the SNES library, but I got close.
5.5 N64. Wow, that still amazes me that was that large.
I mean, yeah, cause
I honestly would have thought it was like a little bit more, but yeah, so. Maybe like 10 gigabytes is what I was thinking. I guess.
Yeah, I guess N64 games are probably not as big as you're thinking they were, though.
Yeah, but I was also thinking like the size of the PlayStation 1 library versus everything else around that time period as well.
I would bet the PlayStation, and I haven't seen a list of games, I would think the PlayStation probably had a lot more games than the N64 did.
Yeah, that's also true.
Because as much as I would like to say the N64 was the best system of that period, the PlayStation was, I think, far and away better than the N64 was.
They both had their own individual charms and set of games.
Well, that's true. That's just like with any system, though.
True.
So, there you go. That's going to be it for the news this week, though. So let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Daniel via email. Because he remembered, if you send us an email, you get put to the front of the list. And you can send those emails to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. And he wants to know, he says, E3 is upon us, and naturally everyone's speculation machines are running on overcharge, and I figured I'd grief you guys with another round of my usual questioning. Let's try to answer with no draws, no adding answers, and no manipulation of these questions. Which would you rather see new series entry get announced at E3, Golden Sun or Wario Land?
Golden Sun.
This is a tough choice for me, because I really like those Golden Sun games. I would probably pick Wario Land simply because I think more people in my house would be interested in a Wario Land game, and I have a tendency to, if there are multiple games that I'm looking at buying at the same time, I'll go with the one that more people in the house will play over the one that maybe I specifically want to play. So I'd go with Wario Land, but that's not to say Wario Land is a bad series, because I absolutely love the Wario Land games. I think Shake It was phenomenal. It was also the first game I ever played on my HDTV, which is still sitting in my living room to this day. I've had it for 10 years now. So I'd probably go Wario Land over Golden Sun just because of that. But I'd love to see a new Golden Sun game.
Yeah, as long as they do the advertising better than they did on that, what the last one was, I would have no problem with it. Last one was like, what, is this a Pokemon game now? I don't understand. So.
Yeah, I didn't play Golden Sun on the DS. I only have experience with those two GBA games.
I've only played the first one, so yeah. That's my experience, but I do know the second game was... I've seen it played, so yeah.
So, and Lang, I'm sorry, I would have talked about the game you're mentioning, Dauntless, but I have absolutely no idea what that is, so I couldn't talk about it other than to say there's a beta for the game, and it's like Monster Hunter, because that's what you said in the chat. So that's all I really know about the game. I need to look it up and see what it's like.
But Monster Hunter comes to the PC in 2 months.
It also comes to the Switch soon, so I could play it on the Switch.
That's the good Monster Hunter.
I can't play the good Monster Hunter. I don't have a controller from a PS4.
Okay.
back to Daniel's email. Which of the current rumors between Star Fox Grand Prix and Pokemon Let's Go do you think is the most likely to be real and will show up at the show?
Pokemon.
I would say Pokemon 2, only because I'd play Pokemon over Star Fox. I think both of them are probably likely, and we're probably going to see both of them.
I think the Star Fox is more likely, but I'm hoping it's Pokemon.
The idea of playing those Pokemon games on the Switch is way more exciting to me than the idea of a Star Fox racing game, because you and I have talked about, and I don't know if we talked about this on the show last week, I have no desire to play a Star Fox racing game. So
I'm using tilt controls.
Much more interested in Pokemon and hope that one is more likely. I think both of them are probably a good bet to show up at E3. They both seem like very likely rumors at this point. So, but I'm going to say Pokemon. And then he says, finally, Nintendo announces the GameCube Redo series with an initiative to release one updated GameCube game per month for the next 12 months. Which game kicks it off? F-Zero GX with a full online play, or Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door with upgraded textures and assets and a 16:9 widescreen display? I know the answer to that one. That's easy for me.
Well, I'm not going to pick F-Zero because I've seen that played at like various GDQs and I'm just bored watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go with Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, mostly because I have played it. I played it on my... I think I played it on my... on my actual Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And even playing it through there, it looked it looked great still. So
yeah,
there's not much of an upgrade that needs to be done. You just need throw in that upscaler and the widescreen support. You have a good game right there that people would play on modern
console. You have a fantastic game, and I think it would be, while it's not a new Paper Mario game, it would appease Paper Mario fans who have been wanting
a new
the Thousand Year Door. Since Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, because a new game hasn't come out since then, right?
I liked Color Splash. So
Super Paper Mario was not bad.
I liked
like playing
Super
a,
Paper Mario.
It was like playing a Mario game, but it was paper.
It was not a Paper Mario game, even though the title said Paper Mario in it. It was a Mario game
with too much text.
Yeah. You put Thousand Year Door. You use that Color Splash engine for Thousand Year Door, and it would look amazing. And I think everybody who's ever said, please make another Paper Mario game, would buy that in a heartbeat. So,
yeah,
that would be my choice. So there you go. Sam via Facebook says, the date is March 3rd, 2022, and I really wish Shannon was here, because I think this is the greatest question we've ever had on the show. And due to the combination of a pricing error and a repeatable coupon, Shannon now owns all of Nintendo's shares. What will he do next with the company?
Find a way to sell it on eBay and make a bundle of money off of it.
There you go. You can't top that answer right there. That is the greatest Rife and Bargain in the history of Rife and Bargains. So, there you go. He has acquired all of the shares and turned around and sold them on eBay.
Is that even possible in a publicly traded? No, wait.
I don't think it probably.
You know what? That's something we don't need to get into.
So, Ubisoft had to deal with that recently.
Yeah, well, Ubisoft still can't fix my DLC code problem for Splinter Cell. They told me to uninstall Uplay and reinstall it.
That didn't work.
That doesn't fix the problem of me not being able to get a code to work on there to register to my account whenever it's... I never installed Uplay to begin with, so there's there's that as well.
They just don't want you to use that DLC.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Ubisoft. Get people that know how to do tech support better.
Thanks, Ubisoft. Nathan via Facebook says, you're given the power of the Infinity Gauntlet, but can only use it to either reform a video game company or create one video game of your choice. What do you do? Make a new Paper Mario game.
Use it to either reform a video game company or create.
Make a Drill Dozer sequel. Bring Luigi's Mansion to the Switch and not the 3DS.
So if I'm using it to create one video game of my choice, I'm guessing that means I get like credited for it or something?
I would say yes.
Huh. I need to think this over.
So you got a little bit of time. I gave you my answers.
Yeah, so, just make another Paper Mario game. There we go.
Make another Paper Mario game, or bring Drill Dozer to the Switch, or switch Luigi's Mansion from a 3DS release to a Switch release so I can play it on a TV in high definition and not on a tiny 3DS screen with subpar controls.
See, I would want to get like Metal Gear Rising 2, but that doesn't do any good because Kojima's not around anymore with that company.
You get Metal Gear Rising Survive.
Yeah, I would honestly be okay with that as well, cutting up zombies, but it just wouldn't be as fun. Man. Okay, all right, I got one. This one can be done, so I would have one video game created of my choice, and that would be Super Mario RPG 2. As long as Nintendo and Square Enix are involved, and have it designed basically like the SNES game.
Like claymation style as well?
Claymation style was what I was going to work on saying next. Because I think that would be that isometric view. Is that what it's called, isometric?
Yeah.
That same view, but make all the characters not make them all claymation. I think it would be a great fit and lead to some better antics they could do with the animations and other such things.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd make the game that erases every copy of Fester's Quest from existence. You could do that.
I'm wondering how that one works.
I don't know how that would
like,
work.
Is it a game people buy and they get brainwashed and then destroy the copies? Or, and you know that ROM exists on the internet, so that's going to be an even bigger issue to deal with.
I'm going to have to erase the internet.
We'll get right on that.
Okay. And then lastly, Lang via Facebook says, he just had a streak of good RNG in Fire Emblem Heroes, getting 4 banner units with fairly good stats with all free orbs, which are the in-game premium currency. What's the best streak of RNG you've ever had? I'd have to think about this because I don't have any specific examples. I have a couple of like RPG scenarios where I was very close to death and boss characters managed to whiff on their attacks, but I couldn't give you specific examples. I do remember some things like that happening, but not exactly the situation that they were happening in.
I honestly cannot think of any good RNG as such as that.
I mean, you know, I don't really think about that a lot except for things like Monster Hunter or something like that. I'm not manipulating RNG in games I'm playing and things like that, so I don't really.
I mean, if you take random number generator into like a real world situation, like I've been in a game of Medal of Honor Allied Assault against some old friends before, and like my team gets wiped out and then it's just me versus 5 people and I somehow cleaned house at that point.
But, yeah.
Which is very abnormal for me, but I can't think of a good RNG scenario. I know I've had some, it's just nothing stands out.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where if I was paying more attention to it, I could probably bring up specific examples, but it's not something I think about on a regular basis. So, but that is going to be it for the show this week. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, like my Bloodstained review, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. And thank you, Ethan, for being on the show with me this week.
Fully Coolly Progressive starts next week.
There you go. And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days. I watched some early gameplay of Xenoblade Chronicles X. It looks really good. I just have never played it. Can we get an HD version of the first one as well?
Maybe. I mean, you have to ask Santa. You got to be really good this year.
I mean, for considering that game almost never came out here, that series has had a good run since then.
Imagine how good the Phantasy Star Online series would do if it came out here.
Shelby'd buy 1 million copies all his own.